Hello, everyone. We're back for our annual Tech Doctor Spring Apple event discussion. And as always, Allison is with me. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty well, fighting off a little cold, but, you know, fighting the good fight, as it were, and doing pretty well. Excited from the event. It was good. I won't be spending any money this time around, but it was still a good event. What do you think?
Well, I thought it was too. I've heard a few people saying they were disappointed, but I wasn't disappointed at all. I think that it's unfortunate in some ways that Apple has gotten so big that we almost always now seem to know almost exactly what's going to be announced before the events. And so there's not that huge element of surprise that there used to be. And maybe that's a bit disappointing for people. And I think some people kind of expect Apple to come out with something that's as much of a blockbuster hit as the iPhone every time there's an event, and that's just not the way it works.
It's absolutely impossible. They're only human beings.
And, you know, I think that's a pretty good segue, actually, because one thing I really like about Tim Cook's Apple is that they are, in fact, human beings. And Tim, I think, really models the importance of being a genuine human being in these events. And they started off with a little video sort of highlighting the fact that Apple is 40 years old. And then Tim talked for a moment, I think at that point, about the fact that they are presented the event in the on-campus Apple Center, which is a fairly small room there, holds about 300 people. And this likely will be the last event from there. And so, you know, it's kind of nostalgic in a way,
yeah.
I guess, because a lot of big things happened in that room. The iPod was introduced from there, for example. So anyway, I'm sure there are a lot of memories there. And so then, you know, they really did a couple things that surprised me, and I was glad they did them. Tim brought Lisa Jackson up to talk about what Apple is doing for the environment. And they're doing some incredible things where they've got almost all of their retail data centers and everything running on renewable energy. And that's kind of exciting, honestly.
It is. It makes me feel good about buying Apple products, as if I needed a reason. You know, it just makes me feel even better about it. And I was really excited to learn that she's a woman of color. So not only do we have diversity, gender diversity, but racial diversity as well in having her represent the company. It was really awesome. And she's also the head of accessibility. So I have to admit, a little part of me, a little corner of my mind was like, please talk about accessibility. But then I realized that I was being ridiculous and just let her go on with her environmental talk because it's so important.
Yeah, I think it's great, though, that she is the head of accessibility in addition to the environmental stuff, because it seems like she's really bright.
She's bright and she's passionate. She really cares. You can tell.
Yeah, and that's the same for Tim. You know, I think if you want to say anything about Tim, whether you like his presentation style or not, I think there's just no question but what he's very sincere in what he says.
Extremely. I have a feeling that he'd be saying it to one person, or if there's a bunch of cameras, like at a media event. He is who he is.
Yeah, and I failed to mention that he did briefly mention the Apple FBI case, which at the time of the presentation, they thought they were going to be in court today. But then, as most people probably know by now, the FBI canceled that court hearing, backed off, and kind of said, we have someone who has come to us and says they can get the data off the phone. So who knows ultimately what the outcome of all that's going to be. But it looks like for now, that fight suddenly came to an end. So
for now, but it's not. I don't think it's going away. Not for all time.
No, I think it'll come back in some other form. it's going to be a battle, but hopefully it'll be one that will be fought more in the legislative process as opposed
right.
to in the courts. And so we'll see how all that works out. But I think, honestly, not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but in my humble opinion, I think the FBI realized they weren't going to win that one.
I agree.
And they backed off because I think Apple had a really great case, and you just can't out Apple when it comes to presenting a good argument for something.
Nope.
So anyway, that was really a big surprise to me when that happened. But back to the matter at hand, back to the event, then they spent some time, I believe, talking about healthcare.
Yeah.
And kind of what's happened there. What did you think about all that?
Oh, I loved it when they had the video of the research kit and talking about the woman who was taking place in the Parkinson's study and how she felt that it was helping her. And they were realistic about it. They said, sometimes our studies indicate that this treatment plan is working. Sometimes it doesn't, but they've had more people participating in these studies now than they ever could have anticipated. And I really liked when they also announced the care kit so that people could follow along and be greater, more independent participants in their own care as well. So exciting. I think it's so wonderful what they're doing.
Well, the fascinating thing to me about CareKit is that I suddenly realized they're exactly right. That is a place where there desperately needs to be better information, because the way CareKit is going to work is it's going to be a way for people to create apps to follow one's aftercare once they get discharged from the hospital. And so often, if you have surgery or have a procedure done, these days they'll send you home with a piece of paper reminding you of the things that you need to do to help yourself heal from the procedure that you went through. And of course, the piece of paper is absolutely useless to a person like myself who's blind, but information in CareKit would be accessible to me on my phone. And likely there will be apps that will remind you, you know, you need to exercise that knee that you just had surgery on for 5 minutes right now.
Or you need to take this medicine at this time. Where what I immediately thought of is my husband Jeremy has to get a kidney transplant at some point. He's on the list, and in reality, it's probably going to happen a couple of years down the road. And I could see this care kit being really great for him when he comes home from his surgery, helping he and I both to stay on top of managing his care. He's going to have anti-rejection drugs he's going to have to take. They're going to change on a weekly or biweekly basis. So hopefully by then, care kit will be robust enough to allow for that. And hopefully there will be some sort of app to allow people who are recovering from any kind of transplant to manage their care a little bit more easily.
Yeah, just the sheer numbers, you know, how many people are already participating in these health kit studies, and just how easy it will be to distribute this care kit information via apps and so forth. I do worry a little bit about what's going to happen to people who don't have Apple devices, especially people who can't afford them. I hope that somehow some third-party vendors will step up, maybe with some, little devices that can connect into CareKit. Since it is something that is open source, hopefully a lot of spinoffs will happen where everybody who needs an assistive device when they go home can have one. That I'm just hoping. I have no one has said anything about that, but it'd be nice if that could happen.
Well, there are already government programs which allow people to get free cell phone service. So my feeling is, why shouldn't there also be a government program to allow everyone who needs a smartphone to have one?
Yeah, and maybe, you know, that could be one of the things that a lot of these older phones that are going to be coming back in could be used for.
Yeah. We'll have to tell Bernie Sanders to get on it.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I did want to mention, before we completely get away from the first presentation, what one of the coolest things that Lisa Jackson showed, and they did had a little video. They have a very cool robot named Liam, who is able to completely dismantle an iPhone that is about to be recycled and get all the reusable parts out of it. And I thought that was really cool that they use their engineering talent to build something like that.
That's about the coolest thing. Liam Irvin on Twitter keeps talking about how he's the robot.
Yeah, I want one of those robots.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want it to get too close to my iPhone, though.
No.
Because I think it loves taking those little screws out.
I think it does.
Yeah, but that was pretty cool. That's
really awesome. Yeah.
I enjoyed that part of it. So then I guess we moved into products and really the things that we kind of expected to be announced. Of course, it was announced that there was an update to tvOS, and I haven't had a chance to install it yet, but
me neither.
I'm really glad that we have our ability to now use a Bluetooth keyboard again, and sounds like there's a lot more capabilities that Siri has, especially with an ability to let us dictate usernames and passwords and things like that. Sounds like there's some nice additions in the new tvOS.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with it. I got my Mac updated and my iPhone updated, and I just have not had time for anything else.
Yeah, I'm a sad little fella. I was updating my watch at 4:00 this morning.
Ooh.
So it was a good time to do it. It had good bandwidth.
Yeah.
Wasn't too crowded. And it actually didn't take that long. But what it means is that I need to figure out some way to get more sleep. I'm just not sleeping much these days.
Me neither. I don't even know. Part of the problem is I'm having trouble sleeping. Part of the problem is also that there are so many things to do and things to follow. And you could make a full-time job just of being a podcaster and a Twitter follower and just a person who has many interests.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no kidding. You know, I almost don't have time to sleep, and that's a problem. Yeah. And so of course there was, as I alluded to, an update to Apple Watch, and it looks like mostly bug fixes. Now, of course, if you want to wear an Apple Watch on each wrist, you can have them both paired with your phone at the same time. So,
oh, good. I'll be able to pair both my gold Apple Watches.
You will. That's right. Not a problem anymore. So it wasn't actually mentioned in the presentation, but our Macs got an update yesterday, which apparently are filled with security fixes. So encourage everyone to go ahead and update your Mac as soon as you can.
Yeah.
It's really important to keep up with those updates because so much stuff goes on all the time, malware-wise, and that Apple does a pretty good job of protecting us from, but you aren't protected if you're not up to date.
Right, that XProtect database has to update, and that generally happens with the release of each major and minor software update.
Speaking of other software updates, we got iOS 9.3 and some pretty cool features. I think my favorite one in the new update is that new four-finger gesture that lets you easily switch between running apps.
I love it. It's great.
It's very convenient. Especially when you're switching back and forth between, say, mail and the web browser or something like that.
Yeah.
Makes it very easy to do that. Anything else jump out at you that you especially like in 9.3?
I am finding 9.3 on my 6S Plus to be extremely snappy and responsive. Dictation is faster. Siri's working a bit more reliably. I have turned on the night shift mode. I know that my light perception is probably not good enough to be able to discern that blue light, but I have it going on at 8 p.m. and coming off at 8 a.m. just to be safe, because I figure anything, even if it's a placebo effect, anything that might be able to help me sleep a little bit better is always a good thing.
Yeah, the night shift idea is an interesting one, and I think there really is some merit to it. The idea is that when you turn the night shift mode on, your display tones itself down in the evenings so that your eyes are not fooled into telling your body we need to stay awake. We need not to let the melatonin do its thing yet. It's not time to go to sleep. But with a display that is toned down, the idea is that you won't have that brightness keeping you awake. So I think it really will likely help some people.
Yeah, I think for me it's a little bit of overkill, and like I say, the placebo effect, because right now I have screen curtain on, I have brightness down to zero. I don't think it's going to do a damn thing, but
yeah, probably not.
But it's worth trying.
It's a nice idea. Anything that can even help you, that part of your brain, get the idea, hey, let's get some sleep. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also noticing, at least last night, that my phone used less battery overnight. So I'm wondering if that's having a positive effect on battery life, or again, if it's just a placebo effect.
Yeah. Well, it's always hard to say after a new update.
Yeah.
Lots going on in the background, but less battery is a good thing. Most of the time you hear people complaining about that update using more of my battery.
Yeah. I'm finding at least 24 hours on that battery life seems slightly improved.
Yeah, I think we have really come a long way with iOS 9 in a relatively short period of time. It sure seems to be, for me at least, very solid at this point.
I would agree.
Almost makes me not want to deal with the next one that's going to be here before we know it. But maybe it'll bring some new and exciting things, and that's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So what about this new iPhone SE that came out yesterday?
Well, it sounds darling. I mean, it sounds really cute, but it's not for me. I'm not getting it, obviously, but I think that it's a great option for kids where it's their first phone. I think it's a great option for people who really like that 4-inch form factor. I have really gotten used to the 6S Plus, but if I could get the same features and the same battery life of the 6 Plus in the smaller package, I might consider it. It is comparable to the 6. It is definitely, or the 6S. It's definitely a good phone, but I think for me, I'll be sticking with the 6S Plus, but I could see where it could really be a great solution for a lot of people. And they mentioned that they still sell 30 million 4-inch phones, so that's going to make Apple a lot of money.
Yeah, that was pretty cool that they really took a little time to explain why they went to the 4-inch phone again, or brought out another 4-inch phone. One, a lot of people like them, and two, they've, as you said, sold so many of them. And
yeah,
honestly, I think in some ways, you know, it's kind of potentially going to be a gateway phone. It's going to be for people, because they're starting it for the 16 gig at $399. And 64 gig at $499. So it's going to be a phone that a lot of people can afford. And I think once they get their toe in the water, you know, they'll likely move up one day to one of the other phones. But some people just love that 4-inch size. I mean, it fits great in your pocket and in your hand. And there's nothing wrong with that. My wife, Vicky, she has staunchly held on to her iPhone 5, and I'm imagining that she'll get one of the SEs because that's just a size that she loves. And so,
yeah, a couple of my Twitter friends have been saying that they were going to get it, and my mom, I'm thinking that maybe I could convince her to get it because she's due for a contract upgrade, and the 16 gig SE is free with a carrier upgrade as long as you're on contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no offense, Mom, but she's getting older, and her eyes are not as good. So I don't know if the screen will be big enough for her, but it's worth trying. I've been trying to get her to get an iPhone for almost 5 years now.
So. Yeah, it's worth her going and taking a look at it and seeing if it could work for her. It is almost identical to the 6S, with the exception of the fact that it doesn't have 3D touch.
Yeah.
So, and for most people, I think 3D touch is nice, but not critical.
I keep forgetting about it. I just keep forgetting to do it.
Yeah, and I think that for those of us who've been using iPhones for a long time, it's not something that's real easy to just become part of our workflow because we didn't have it for so long.
Right, and it does things that are good and convenient and nice, but it doesn't do anything that's so revolutionary that I feel like I have to build it into my workflow. It really takes very little effort. For example, with the settings 3D touch now, apparently you can activate Wi-Fi and Bluetooth status and check the battery or something like that. And I can do all that very easily using other means with almost less effort because I know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that hampers me with 3D touch is that I have most of my apps inside folders. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm going to go to the trouble to go to the folder and get to the app, then, you know, might as well open the app the regular way. It seems like, although, you know, sometimes 3D touch is nice, and it sounds like it's especially nice, though, if you use it with apps like the settings app that isn't in a folder, that you can just immediately access the app on your home screen and do 3D touch. But I'm not set up that way for the most part.
Right. And I do a lot of that stuff with Siri. I'll have Siri turn on Wi-Fi and Bluetooth in low power mode, and or I could do it through the control center. I do use Siri for a lot of those small things like launching apps.
Yep. Siri's nice for that.
Yeah.
So there was also a new iPad, the iPad Pro. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
It does. You'd think they just announced one of those.
But as Serenity Caldwell said, this is the baby Pro.
Right.
Because it's the traditional 9.7-inch size iPad, but it has most, if not all, of the features of the big brother, what is it, 13-inch iPad Pro?
12-point-something-inch, yeah.
Maybe it's 12.9, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, the really big one. But I think this 9.7 iPad with its little keyboard that attaches through the smart connector and supports the iPad Pencil and supports many, literally everything that the big Pro model does, as far mm-hmm. as I know, will be really important for people who didn't want something quite that big, but who want those features and capabilities.
I agree. Again, it's another one that's not going to be for me. I find that my phone paired with either a Bluetooth keyboard and or a Braille display accomplishes everything that I want to accomplish.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that I need that screen real estate. But again, I think this is going to make Apple a lot of money.
Well, that's been true for me too. I gave my iPad Air to my son because really for me, the combination of the 6S Plus and my Apple Watch, And mostly I use the on-screen Braille keyboard, but if I did want to use a Bluetooth keyboard, that's true, another way to go about it. But if you have some combination going like that, gosh, right. You know, you just, for me at least, I just really didn't need an iPad anymore.
Yeah, I had thought to initially use mine as a secondary reading device, but it's quite cumbersome when you're trying to read in bed with it, and I ended up just giving mine to Jeremy because he needed it for work testing. So I was like, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
Wasn't using it.
Vicky was reading with hers in bed the other night and I guess kind of fell asleep and cracked herself in the head with
ow.
It. So, you know, they can be a little bit heavy if they hit you that way.
It's a weapon.
Way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Imagine if it was the big Pro.
Yeah. That would be especially bad.
Oof. Yeah.
But I think she was, I think her temple was just, you know, a little bit sore from that.
Ow.
So you have to be careful.
Yeah.
And we got some new watch bands for Apple Watch and a price reduction on the Apple Watch. So that's a good thing for people who want to try that out now.
Yeah, they've reduced them by $50. So that's really good.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see that new nylon band that came out. I'd just like to know what it's like.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. Probably won't go for it, but I want to check it out. And who knows, I may be making a liar of myself here in front of all of you.
Yeah, you may decide that you really like it. And the good news is it's only $49.
$49, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy the different watch bands, and that's just been kind of a fun thing to be able to accessorize in that way. And I tend to wear the sports band when I exercise, and the Milanese Loop when I'm going to work or going out somewhere where I'm going to, you know, dress a little bit nicer. And so, I mean, I don't know. For me, the watch is still fun. I still use it all the time. So.
Yeah, I definitely use it more now that it's more stable, but I'm a little bit enthralled with my Milanese Loop for pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good band. I mean, you don't really need more than one, but sometimes it's fun to have more than
one. Yeah, yeah. I know my next watch, as I've said previously, is probably going to be the sport model, and so I would probably sell the watch itself, keep my Milanese Loop, and then get the sport band that comes with the sport model, or they might have another Milanese Loop out by then. I don't know. That's better, stronger, faster. I don't know.
Yeah. all that good stuff. They actually do have it. Did come out with a new Milanese Loop this time.
The space gray one. Yeah. It's a little bit dear considering that I've already paid for one Milanese Loop.
Exactly. Yeah. What are they? $149 now, something like that.
Yeah, but the space gray one is $199.
Okay, so
yeah,
you gotta really want one of those.
Yeah, and I really don't. Not that bad.
Exactly, exactly. So I think that those were the major products, at least that I can remember at the moment. Am I leaving anything out?
No, I think we've covered it all. It was a good event. I would not call it a great event, and I think the predictability. The predictability never lessens it for me. I think we got exactly what we expected. They were not really intending to announce anything revolutionary, so that's kind of what I expected.
Right.
It was just going to be a normal spring event, and it was good.
Yeah, every one of those products, even if it's an iteration or an incremental improvement in some respects, you know, or with the iPhone SE kind of going back to the smaller phone, but with different internal components that bring it up to current standards, it is, in my mind, still forward progress. I don't minimize what they're doing. It felt like it was the next logical step with all these products. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I agree. They had to come out with a smaller phone. They had to come out with an iPad Pro type device that was a smaller size. All of these things were things that the market dictated pretty much that they had to come out with. And now they have, and they'll continue to innovate and iterate and make more money, and it'll be great.
It is just a little sad, though, because this is one of the very few times when it looks like Apple, with these new products, isn't going to get either of us to spend money right now.
I know, right? We better turn on CNN and see if hell has frozen over.
right. But I think they're going to get us, though, because I'm pretty sure we're likely to see, if not before, new MacBooks being announced in June at WWDC.
Yeah, I don't know when I'm going to be able to afford the new MacBook. I might have to hold off a couple of months. But certainly they're going to get me in September with the new iPhone.
Yeah, I'm thinking that I want to replace my MacBook because it's 4 years old. But my thinking right now is to keep with it for at least through the summer and fall. And maybe think about replacing it around Christmas time. Because there's just that they hold up so well and they last so long. There's no reason that you have to be in a red hot hurry unless, you know, your battery stops functioning or something goes wrong with it. But I mean, this thing right now is functioning just about as well as it always did.
Yeah, mine's 4 years old and it's functioning even better than it was when I first got it because it's got an SSD and 16 gigabytes of RAM in it. So it does everything I want it to do. So there's really no reason why I couldn't, in theory, wait another year to replace it.
Right. And also, I think it's going to be really nice to have the capabilities of these new Skylake processors, but it never hurts to let them be out for a revision or two, and just in case bugs are in the first product run. I mean, usually they're great, usually they're fine, but it's okay in my mind to wait a little while.
That's what I'm thinking. And plus, we're going to Chicago, so we're going to need some money for that.
We are. We're going to be in Chicago at Mac Stock in July, and that's going to be really exciting. I'm already starting to think at least about my presentation. And
me too.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to do it.
Yeah, it's going to be great fun.
All right, you all, that's pretty much a brief synopsis of what happened. It was a shorter event yesterday. It only lasted about an hour.
Yeah.
And that was okay, you know, because I think they had about an hour's worth of material.
Right. It would have felt draggy if they'd tried to make it too.
Yeah. And the way they did it, it moved right along for me. And I thought everybody who presented did a good job. So as always, we just wanted to jump on here and bring you a fairly quick and dirty, for the most part, unedited review of what we thought about it all yesterday. And we thank you for listening. And until we come back with whatever comes up next time, thank you very much. This is Robert, one of the tech doctors, saying so long for now.
And this is Allison, the other tech doctor, saying bye, everyone.